Praise God. You can have a seat. Thank you so much for being here today. At a conference one time, a speaker asked a room full of pastors these two questions. He said, if we listened to your sermons or followed you around for a year, what would convince us that you are all about biblical community? Then he asked the pastors his questions, what would prove that you believe community is of a supernatural and internal importance to the mission of God and for the glory of God? If we study the Bible, we can see how much God values community because it's evident throughout the whole biblical narrative. From Genesis to Revelation, we can see it is biblical and critical to have community. God said in His Word, it's not good for man to be alone, Genesis 2:18, and all the men say amen. But sin destroyed the perfect community in the garden. Then God established a new community through Israel to bless the nations, but this new community was far from perfect. Eventually, Jesus came and started even a better community, though not yet perfect, with the establishment of the local church, the called out ones. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you're a called out one. That's what the church is. In Revelation, the community, in the book of Revelation, we see that community is fully restored and we're all together in perfect community for how long? For eternity. We can see what a perfect community looks like through the Scripture by seeing how God Himself existed in Trinity. In Genesis 1:26, it says, let us make man in our image. In Isaiah 6:8, it says, who should I send? Who will go for us? God has always existed in community. The three persons of the Trinitarian God are in community with one another with distinct functions and relationships. So I came here today to tell you, as image bearers of God, we here at Community Christian Fellowship reflect this Trinitarian community as we live in true community with one another. Scripture constantly paints for us the picture that growth happens in community, and there we see eternal value in it. And you're listening, God, I put growth happens in community because the Bible places community as a critical step of obedience for Christ's follower. It's a very important sentence. When you think about it, we're called out of darkness, out of hiding, out of shame, and into a relationship with God and with others that happens through Christ. Genesis 3:8 through 10, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, where are you? And he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was so naked, and so I hid. And we're living in today, 2016, where people are still hiding from God. People are still hiding in their shame. But as related believers, we're no longer unknown. We're no longer independent people who are disassociated with one another and with God. Rather, we are neighbors with other believers. We are rightfully members of the household of God. God has determined the times and the places, it says in Acts 17. Where you're going to live, where you're going to work, who your neighbors are going to be, who your church friends are going to be. In this house is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. It says in Ephesians chapter 3, Christ Jesus Himself being the chief cornerstone. And I found these two verses in Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. It says, and I really want us to read this together because it's very important, but I'm going to do something you probably shouldn't do and maybe somebody will get upset. I want you to take the word you out of there and put we. And I want us to read this scripture together and put the word we in there. Let's read it together. Consequently, we are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself being the chief cornerstone. So our roots gain their true strength because God is in community with us. If it were just us, there would be a human synergy there. Positive results can follow through merely human relationships and people's desire to collaborate. But biblical community is different from what happens at your homeowners association. And you're listening, God, I put life investing relationships is a supernatural thing within the church body, carries more significance than your local PTA. Because biblical community involves a supernatural God component. It becomes a non-negotiable in our church. It's very important in our local churches. And you're listening, God, I put, we need to stop presenting community as just another option for religious consumer and start presenting it as God's will for everyone. And I came here to tell you today, it's God's will that we join together in community. It's God's will that we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's God's will that we go outside these walls and make a difference for Him, because He's called us to be kingdom makers, to make a difference in people's lives. It's so important. It should be as seen as a reality of those within the church and the refuge for those who are without. The world is looking for community. And you can tell it even when you observe those who are often most hostile to God. Atheist people, I read, have started to form what amounts to be churches without God. A CNN recent, you know, if you ever want to know about atheists and what they look like and what they do, watch CNN, praise God. CNN recently reported about atheist congregations. Some gather weekly for music and a message. So despite their rejection of God, atheists cannot see, they cannot help but see the value of one of His gifts to us, and that's community. How ironic is that while atheists are beginning to recognize the worth of merely being together as humans, many Christians are dismissing the significance of a supernatural community. And that's what we've come here today, to allow God to use us and put us in groups so we can see the supernatural things happen. We can see healings happen. We can see marriages restored. We can see friendships restored. And that happens in community. I thought to myself, if a guy is struggling loving his wife, it's going to take a community of guys around him to help him learn how to love her as Christ loved the church. Or when a guy is struggling with an addiction, maybe to alcohol or pornography, he needs the experience, grace coupled with truth. When a single mom is struggling and she needs people around her who can love and understand her as well as keep her accountable to biblical principles. Or when a woman is wrestling with the soul-crushing news that her only child has a serious medical issue, what's going to hold her strong? Often it's a group of people who are surround her. To me, the health and the long-term mission and the viability of the church is not going to be determined by those who gather on Sunday morning. To me, I think the future of the church will be determined by the depth of His disciples. People in community through small groups or classes beyond Sunday morning are the future. It's God's plan here for us to make a difference in this generation that we see spiraling down in how we treat God and look at God. And if you read Romans chapter 1, read that today, man. Read that at halftime when the Redskins are winning by 2 touchdowns. At halftime, read Romans chapter 1 and shows what happens to the world. Sorry, Jason, man. Praise God. Shows what happened to the world is spiraling out of control because they do not believe this is the truth. They do not believe God's word at what makes a difference for us. People in communities through small groups or classes beyond Sunday morning are the future of this church. They are our future because these settings mature counterculture. Disciples are made. That's where we're made. The last book of the Bible is placed there for a reason. It tells us how it's going to end. We get a snapshot of the future, one of which we should constantly remind ourselves. I got two verses that can tell you that today. We need to store these verses in our computers. We need to store them in our phones and tape it on our refrigerators so we can see it every morning. We should never forget that we will all end up in a community with God. Look at Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes." I wish I could do it like Kirk Franklin did it. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes." I mean, he was good. "There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will pass away." So if you look at those verses, did you catch that? God's eternal dwelling is with humanity. We end up in eternal community dwelling with God and with all humankind. How incredible is that going to be? That's what gives us hope. That's what gets us up every morning, knowing that one day we're going to spend eternity with God. And although we could sit here and debate it and arguing that that gathering will be really large, but we're missing the point if we think that. Because in that day, we'll be able to relate perfectly with one another and to God. The size of the gathering only reveals that you're not alone. We will be in community with God and one another in heaven. Our rooms, I found Matt Chandler has a book on Philippians that I've been reading through. And it's beautiful. He made this statement. Our rooms or mansions will not be the size of an airplane room, and we will never again go bowling alone. God's dwelling is the word also translated tabernacle, saying that God will literally pitch a tent over us, that we will be a place that will be a place of safety and security that we have never known before, and we will be forever be transformed from a me to an us in community with God. Eternal community with God and one another is going to be sweet. Everything that sabotaged our efforts to be in community on earth will become a previous thing. Our baggage, our struggles to love and trust and relate will all pass away when we reach that community. And I'm going to close with this. Amy, if you want to come up. How important is biblical community together on earth? How important is that? Why are we going to talk about it? Why are we going to pursue it? Why are we going to do everything we can to get people plugged into a community? How important is it on earth? As important as it'll be in heaven. Biblical community, and I'll close with this, is where I can love and be loved. Biblical community is where I can receive grace and extend grace. Biblical community is where I can watch transformation in the lives of my friends and experience my own transformation. Biblical community is where others can hold me up and where I can intertwine my roots with others and where I can experience God's glory in this life and in the life to come like never before. Ushers, if you want to come forward. We're going to take our offering, and we're going to give each leader of the group a couple minutes to come up. We've got 3 clocks on Eric Koufax, so it'll be good. Praise God. Father, thank you for this time that we just came together today. This is a special day. Maybe I'm not portraying it enough. Maybe I'm not excited enough, but God, I'm trembling inside. I'm excited about what you're going to do here. I'm excited about us gathering together in groups and growing and doing life together and extending grace and receiving grace and being transformed and becoming what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, a new creation where the old things pass away and behold, things come new. Father, I'm looking for miracles to happen through you. I'm praying that your Holy Spirit will be so excited about wooing us and pursuing us so that our love will be abounding and we'll take your mercy and grace and grab a hold of somebody who feels like they're not accepted, who feels like they've done too many bad things that God won't accept them. But Father, we're here to pull on people. We're here to be loving to people and accept them where they are and get them to realize that they've been accepted by Christ, that they've been chosen before time began, Father. Adopt us, Lord. Father, help us to take that adoption we've given it and share it with others. Father, I ask you to bless this offering today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.
It's on.
Good morning. I'm going to stand up here on stage because I wasn't built for basketball, so you can see me. So I just want to give a brief introduction. I brought my notes so I don't forget what I wanted to say. I've been married for 24 years, and this summer, my wife, Stacy, and I will celebrate our quarter of a century wedding anniversary. Thank you. I have one son. He's 20 years old. His name is Carter, and many of you know that he followed after me, joined the Navy last year, and he's currently serving his drill weekend at Andrews Air Force Base. So, and he'll actually be, so I'm actually telling you a little bit about him today, too, because he's leading a community group with Sarah Evans. Where's Sarah? There you are, right here. Okay. Let's see. We live in Gainesville, Virginia. If you know where the CVS and McDonald's is in Gainesville, we live in the Virginia Oak development there. I'm retired from the Navy. I'm a Department of Defense civilian, and my wife is a federal background investigator, Stacy. And my son Carter will start his first semester of college at Nova tomorrow. Now, I guess we got to have to give you a fun fact. So, yesterday at our men's group, we were asked to tell you, pick one word that describes yourself, and I picked the word persistent. That seems to be one of the, I'm persistent in doing everything in my life, right? Stacy's laughing. Well, in my childhood and adulthood, one of the things I'm most persistent at is trying to damage myself. So I'm going to give you a visual image of something here. Do you guys know what those little things are that you lay on, you slide under a car? They got like metal wheels so you can fit. Okay, picture this. I took one of those with duct tape, rope, chains, and a few other things, hooked it to a U.S. Army supply parachute, strapped myself to the board on a windy day, 30 to 50 mile an hour winds, and contrary to popular belief, by the way, you cannot steer a parachute. I became one of the very first 10-year-olds to literally almost launch myself into space. So if you can imagine one of those boards careening down the street, somehow I didn't get killed, but not just the street, by the way, because it went over the curb, through yards, through some houses' yards, I just remember, you know, with my Minnesota Vikings helmet on, like a bullet, going, yeah. So I'm persistent at damaging myself, yes, but I didn't die, so there you go. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Sarah Evans.
I guess no one has really explained like what we're doing up here. We're starting community groups on Sunday mornings at 9:30, and all of us that are coming up and speaking are leading some of those community groups, so that's kind of like an explanation. Like I said, my name is Sarah Evans. I'm not married, but I have been dating someone for 3 years, so maybe I'll get married soon. I don't know. we've been dating 3 years. I don't have any kids. I live in Bealeton, Virginia, right by Muthru. So Muthru is much better than Carousel, just so you guys know. And I am a teacher, teach third grade for Prince William County Schools, and I really enjoy it. It's my second year teaching, and I love the kids, and I love teaching them, and every day is a new day. They're so funny. And then my kids, I don't have any kids, so they don't go to any school. So some fun facts about me, I guess I get to share a little bit more fun facts because I don't have any kids, so I didn't get to talk about them. I like to crochet. I've been crocheting for like 10 years, and I made this scarf, so, you know. I love to crochet, so I'm like a grandma. And I also like to cook and to bake. My boyfriend and I love to cook. We really like to cook Asian food, so I got him a wok for Christmas last year, like legit, and then some bamboo like cleaner things and a bamboo steamer so we can make dumplings. And this past Christmas, my parents got him a mortar and pestle, so we like using the mortar and pestle for our Asian cooking. I also like to bake. My favorite are pretzels. I love baking pretzels, soft pretzels, and cake and cookies. And my boyfriend is actually allergic to milk; like he can't have any milk at all. So I really like to figure out new ways of baking for him so he can have, like, fun things like cookies and cake and without having any milk in it. So, oh, and also I really love Parks and Rec and The Office. They're my favorite shows. And so basically if you want to know anything about me, watch Parks and Rec and The Office because I know all of it. Okay, next person.
I forgot one thing about Carter. He once ate a do you guys know what the hottest pepper in the world is? It's 3 billion plus BTUs, whatever. Know what it is. It's called the Carolina Reaper. And I have a video of him and his best friend, Jaden, who attends church here most of the time, tearing apart ice cream containers, chowing down with their hands on the ice cream. So if you ever want to see something funny, see that video.
Hello. We're the Kovaxes. This is Melissa. You may know her. We lead a small group, and we have a couple things that we are supposed to say about ourselves. We are married. we've been married for... over a decade. I'm doing math. We have kids. We've been married 1 year older than my oldest, which is Mitchell. Mitchell, please stand up. Say hi. Savannah, you too. She doesn't get embarrassed. We live, and Lucas, he's not here to stand up or embarrass. Whew, I forgot. We do have three. Thank you. And I don't think we have four. Okay, we don't.
That's right, I heard that.
We live in Vent Hill, which is right down the road. What type of work do I do? I can't tell you that. Our kids go to school at school, elementary school and a middle school. I'm not sure the name of those. Fun facts. Here we go. So one, I do like the Redskins. Thank you. I don't want this to be all about me, but I'm very humble. And probably one of the most humble people you'll ever meet. But I'm really good at everything. Like marriage, parenting. One of the things I'm really good at is small groups. Don't talk to any of the members of our small group about that, but I am. And I know Melissa had some things she wanted to say, but she's not as humble as I am, so What I want to say is, if you want to be in a small group and talk about how humble I am, we have that. It's in Vent Hill. We'll see you there. Thank you.
Well, they're going to be a tough act to follow.
Okay, thanks. I got to follow Eric's humbleness.
Keep it down.
Talk about the beard. So I'm Jason Marino. This is Rachel Marino, my wife. Yes, we're married. Once again, kind of like the Kovacses. We have two kids, and well, one from a previous marriage, and one Adeline in the back, and one on the way. So it's like, for you, it's two and a half. For me, it's three.
I have 2.5 kids.
2.5
And kids. Yes, I do have a redheaded stepchild.
Well, that's right. You do. Yeah. You really do. We live here just down the road behind that direction, about 4 miles away from the church in New Baltimore off Kelly Road. Type of work that you do. So we have questions we're supposed to answer here. What was that?
Lumberjack.
No, but I do know how to use a chainsaw, so I'm not completely lumber sexual. So I do emergency management, national disaster planning, now with the Department of the Interior, which does not include any painting or redecorating. Rachel?
I'm a conference planner for a national association. However, I'm only working with them for literally another 4 weeks, and then I'm transitioning to a stay-at-home mom. So I'm in transition. It's going to be interesting and exciting and thrilling in many different levels all at the same time.
Our kids are either stay at home or go to see Hunter Ritchie for Zach. And fun fact for me is that I am a Bengals fan by marriage, meaning that I married into a Bengals fan. And after the implosion last night, it is... I personally am a NASCAR fan, so it's 6 weeks to Daytona 500, and that's all I care about now. for kind of the other side of it, I'm an outdoors type person. We love to go hiking, backpacking, and camping.
So the other thing that I would add, thank you for the mention of the Bengals again. As much
and
as I would.
Explosion.
Like to forget about the implosion of last night. I think it's very sweet because what some of you may or may not know, this is a second marriage for both of us, but I think it's kind of sweet because this is kind of somewhat of our anniversary of meeting. We met on Wildcard Weekend of 2010, 6 years ago. So I think it's amazing how God works, you know, even kind of everywhere, you know, that he would bring two Christians together in a sports bar. And now here we are six years later talking and, you know, leading a community group
about
and everything. So
again.
Yes, and about them losing again. Anyway, so I would say, you know, it is, while we're kind of newly married, you know, having been, this will be our fifth year of marriage going in, you know, and having done it a second time, we felt called to kind of observe God's rules about entering into a godly relationship before we were married. So for any couples that are, for any young adults or any new couples, you know, we would welcome you because I'm sure that there's lessons that we could share with you. But then also, you know, since we are still kind of newly married to a degree, you know, we would also welcome older, more experienced couples in our group, because there's things that, you know, that we can all learn from each other. And I think having a variety of relationships and everything like that is really important to have in a group. So fun fact about me, I am a Star Wars geek. I'm a terrible Star Wars geek. It would probably surprise you how much of a geek I am. And so my other fun fact along with that is I do a wicked Wookiee roar, and if you would like to check it out, you should come see our group.
Oh, you're not going to do it now?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just
Well, singles are also welcome at our group, just so you know. It's not just married people. Kevin's up next.
I'm throwing pens. All right. Well, this has turned into the comedy hour, it seems like. But my name's Kevin Wrench. This is my tall wife, Laura. All right, let me get my sheet out. We've been married for this past year. We celebrated our fifth of a century mark. Eric, for you, that's 20 years. We have three kids, Katarina, who's a freshman in high school at Kettle Run, Jeffrey, who's in eighth grade at Auburn, and then Matea, who's in second grade at Greenville. So we've got three kids now at three different schools. So that presents its challenges for us running around everywhere, but at least nobody's on the same schedule in the morning, so we can stagger bathroom and everything. So that kind of has worked out well. We live in the Brookside neighborhood of Warrenton. We've been there for about 2 years. We used to live in Vint Hill, but the Kovacs live there, so we decided to spread out to where God was leading us to live. So actually, we did move here 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago from Texas. We were renting a house over in Vint Hill, and God allowed us to purchase a house in the Brookside neighborhood, and we feel that's really where God's leading us. He confirmed with some of our neighbors that relationships we already had, that our kids had, that that's where he intended for us to be, and so we're excited to be there and continue to be here at CCF. I'm an engineer by trade. I work at Micron Technology in Manassas, and Laura is a substitute teacher for Fauquier County Schools. I mentioned where our kids go to school. I guess fun fact, we've been talking about sports. We are pretty avid sports fans. We like pro football, college basketball, and NASCAR, so that gets us through the whole year with something to watch.
Hockey.
Maybe hockey eventually. We'll add something else. And both of us grew up in the Southwest. I grew up in New Mexico. Laura grew up in Arizona. And I mentioned we lived in Texas. So we like Southwest culture, especially good Mexican food. So, and it's the Scoville scale that is the pepper hotness. So I like peppers. So. All right. I think that's about all for us.
There is no way I'm going to be able to follow any of that funniness. I'm not that funny. But my name is Keith McIntyre. My better half, Lisa, is with our daughter, Lily, at a volleyball tournament that she's just started. They lost their first game this morning, so they have to wait until 1 o'clock this afternoon to start the second. But we have two kids, Lily being 13. She goes to Auburn, and Caden is right over there. He also goes to Auburn. He's 11. Lisa and I have been together for... Oh, boy. It's been over 15 years. The absolute love of my life. We moved here to in Warrenton 2008. Actually, Kevin moved near Lisa and I. Kevin and so Kovacs, McIntyre, so you just decide what that means. What am I supposed to say? What do? I'm a heavy equipment operator. I move big machines from A to B, and a lot of people follow me for some reason. I absolutely love my job. It's a blessing to me, and if anything, this time of my life, I see God, because we change seasons. Seasons change in our lives. I'm hoping today a season changes for you. We started a new year, but a season of being connected into community. Last year, sometime, I think, I talked about finding a dead friend, a dead body friend, and meaning that you can call someone to move a dead body, and they won't judge you. They'll call the police on you, but they won't judge you. They'll be there for you, and that's what we need. I found many dead body friends here. Yesterday, we gathered some men, and the common theme, as we had two new guys in the group, and we wanted to introduce ourselves in the same way, and the common theme is, I have grown because I've shown up in a small group and got together and done life. And that's what I pray that you've been prayed for today, to do just that. And that's what I'm hoping today. Actually, I was asked to lead, and I will, but also I'm with my heavy equipment job, I'm not here every Sunday, so Pastor Nick's going to partner with me, so you have to deal with him sometimes, and I'll be here also. He is the greatest cheerleader of you all. He is the biggest prayer of you all. I just want to let you know that you guys are prayed for. People that haven't even walked to that door yet have been prayed for, and you have been prayed for. You have been covered. You are covered daily in prayer. And the reason is because it's uncomfortable to show up and to sit and to know, because for God to be known, you have to be known, and you have to share yourself with others to be known, because we all struggle with stuff, and that's what the whole point of this is to gather, grow, and go, because we want to multiply. We want to multiply his kingdom for his glory. Fun fact, I couldn't think of anything. I'm fun. I'm the fun fact. I'll tell you this. What's that? Oh, boy. I'll tell you this. I never thought in my wildest dreams that life could be this adventurous. I never thought that I could have relationships with people that I have. I never thought that I could have a relationship with my wife that I have. I never thought that I could have a relationship with God that I have. And it's because I decided to show up. And I hope that you will too. For the next 13 weeks, let's see what God does, to come at 9:30. Show up. See what happens. I love you guys. Thanks.
I'm a little thrown off because we didn't go in the right order. But I'm a stickler for detail. And that's why, Pastor Nick, I have to call you out. You have a typo here on your instructions for us, because it says you'll have 1-2 minutes. I'm pretty sure it was 12 minutes each. So, hi, I'm Jim Sabia. My wife, Amber Sabia, is right over there. We are going on our 16th year of marriage. So, yeah, thank you. We've got 4 children, two teens as of this week, and 2 back in Kids Town. But Sienna over here, raise your hand. I know. She's our extrovert. And Isabella, go ahead. You want to do a cheer? Isabella is a cheerleader this year. It's her first year. And then we've got Andrew and Avon in the back. And I just wanted to say something about Eric Kovacs. I mean, I've had the pleasure of being in the same, you know, men's group that's been meeting that Keith referenced. And I missed yesterday, but I'll be there next Saturday. But another great Eric quality that Eric has is he's very giving. So much that I think he gave himself a donut from our table. I think the wrenches don't. They got one more. So somebody. I'm not fixated on that. I'll keep focused. Jason, I'm sorry about Green Bay. I'll just say that in advance. I'm a Redskins fan. Let's see. Let me move through here. Married, kids. We live in Warrenton. We've been there in 10 years. A fun fact actually about that is that my brother and my sister-in-law, Amber's sister, live 5 houses down the street. It's like 2 years now, maybe? Yep. So that's really cool. I design software. So that's what I do for a living. And I currently work from home and work for a company in California, although there's some changes going on. And, you know, I pray that the Lord will allow that to last as much as it can. Our kids go to Covenant Christian Academy, which is a school that Amber and I are founding family members of. She's currently an administrator for the school. And so I actually think that's kind of a fun fact, too. I mean, we love this church. God brought us to this church when we were at the fire hall. And I think the Badens were there. Were you there? No? Okay, so our family signed, the family that was around, signed the floor, and we put scripture verses on this floor, which is another cool thing. If you guys don't know, the church, when they moved into this building, came here, and we all put scripture all over the floor so it could be walking on his word. And so there's scripture under this carpet. The only other fun fact was that we started sports at CCA. This is a small school that we've been blessed to be able to partner with the church and hold it here on the weekdays. And we started an athletics program last year. And I was asked to be the athletic director. And I was very uncomfortable with that because the director part of the title, I preferred athletic supporter, and that became... And so my nickname is Jockstrap. So I'm the Jockstrap of CCA. But we're in the middle of basketball season right now. Some people are blushing here. And I think, we'll be right over here, Sabia's, and we're happy to have whoever's. I, as many here that get to know me more every day, I fail a lot. And Bill is very graceful to remind me that, Christ has released us from that. Guilt does not come from Christ. So I will tell you that I, unlike Eric, am not perfect, but I am in the process of being perfected, and I know that that comes through community and surrounding myself. So anybody that wants to join me in my imperfectness and work through the process of being perfected, I know that I'll be blessed by you guys being in that group. Thank you.